Welcome to Brands Made Meaningful, conversations with the team at Sussner about how purposeful branding inspires unity, identity, and powerful change for growth-minded organizations.
Derek, today we're talking about ecosystems. We're talking about pulling things together. We're also talking about how a brand, this comes up a lot, is more than just your logo. When we work with a lot of clients, they think about, okay, I'm going to work on my branding. That means I have to change my logo. That's not always the case. And I think this conversation is a good example of why you can do a lot around your brand that isn't necessarily changing the primary logo.
When we say the word brand, everybody jumps straight to the logo. And that's normal. It's not a criticism. That's kind of, I think, how, I don't know, we've been trained to think of them interchangeably. But a brand touches so many parts and places of an experience that somebody has with a business, with an organization, with a club, etc., that to only think of a brand as the logo shortchanges all of the ways and places and opportunities we have to reinforce the type of perception and reputation that we want our brand to stand for.
If you think of a brand as defined by person's gut reaction or gut feeling or gut perception of a person, a place, a thing, or however, so if you're to say we're going to brand this product, it's someone's gut reaction to that product. Well, that gut reaction is built off of much more than just the visual aesthetic of it. That's a huge part of it. And there's a lot of the verbal aesthetic parts that it's like the messaging and the tagline and those things go along with that too. And the name has a huge piece in that. But a lot of it is experience too. What is it like when you're using that product? If you're talking about a service, what is it like when you get that service when you're working with maybe a professional services firm? So people think of our brand. It's bigger than just our flag, our logo. It's a lot more of, well, who do they think of when they're working with us and how is that experience working with them and the results that come out of that and all of those things. So the brand and the ecosystem that builds around it really has to do with the interconnected web of elements that really make up the identity. And that identity is a lot larger than just the visual identity.
When I think, if you think of brands that you have a positive association with, something that you belong to, a place that you frequent, a organization that you work with, the more consistent they are and the more intentional they are with their brand, the more effortless that experience is going to seem to you. I think we actually, maybe it's because of what we do, but I notice all the ways and places that people haven't taken advantage of when it comes to the entire ecosystem of their brand. When somebody does it right, you almost don't notice it because it's done so thoughtfully, it's so effortless, and it's so consistent that we should do a whole podcast on the gut reaction thing. Like, what is your gut? The good news is is that there is some science behind it. The frustrating thing is how do you define brand? Well, it's your gut reaction to something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not to undervalue your first response, your impression, your gut reaction, how something makes you feel, how an experience with somebody, someplace, either does or does not fulfill expectations, or that you walk away from that as positive or negative association.
We had a conversation about a sub-branding thing a while back. I think it was episode 40. And we were talking about those that gets into brand architecture. This is a little bit different than that. It has to do with architecture. It has to do with those things. And I would say you need to care about your brand ecosystem. And someone might ask me, like you might ask me, why should anyone care about that? And I think it's important because a lot of organizations, big, small, indifferent, don't think of their brand as this ecosystem. They might have a positioning strategy. They might have all of these things that really help their creative departments, their marketing departments function, but they're not doing something with the mindset of the experience. There's a lot of organizations that we've worked with that start working with us and don't really understand that. Yeah, we'll talk about brand strategy and we'll talk about this, and that absolutely has to do with the visual direction that we'll go, and it has to do with maybe how we might change the name of the organization. But what they should also see is it should change the way that you market, but it should change the way that you sell, and it should change the way that you service the current customers that you have. And how that all comes into play is really important.
We are not saying that a branded ecosystem is slapping your logo on everywhere. When you think of the professional sports team that we've worked with here locally, they've identified something like 8 very different types of fans. And that doesn't also include their corporate partners. So the corporate partners and each of these different fan segments all want something. They all experience this brand in completely different ways. So they need to be, you need to think about how to talk to them and how to, what to offer them and how to reinforce each of those different experiences.
We work with a lot of private clubs, and this comes up a lot because private clubs, for those of you who have not worked in them, are home to a lot of pockets of people. They have membership factions. They have, this is that group of people and this is that group of people. And maybe here's the tennis people that really love tennis over here. And this is the super hardcore golf fans and how that works. And those factions really create a little bit of a challenge, right? If you don't think ecosystem wide, then how are you going to build a brand for all those different people to resonate with all of them without watering it down? That's where you need an ecosystem really to build unique experiences for each one of those fans like you're talking about, so that they can feel like they're a part of something big and great and awesome, but it's just for them.
Having an ecosystem defined within a process of branding or rebranding an organization ultimately makes all the decisions easier. If this includes things like guiding principles, rationale, reasoning, strategy, all within that strategy, as you look to different experiences, to different subsections of your audiences or your membership, etc., when done right, this makes all the difference in the world. Keeps the master brand cohesive, but yet makes it applicable and personal for each of these different audiences.
So I want to do two things. I want to, one, talk about red flags. What are people seeing that if we talk about it here, they could go, I have that problem. That is absolutely me. And then two, I want to go, well, what can you do about it? So walk me through a couple of red flags, things that if you saw this, maybe it's in a new business conversation and someone goes, well, here's the problem we have. And then we could go, well, that's because you're not thinking like an ecosystem. You're thinking very singularly about all of these things.
Yeah. The biggest one is a lack of consistency or a fragmentation in how the brand is presented across different mediums, different platforms, different ways. Some organizations might put a lot of effort and thought into their website, for example. And then when you go visit that organization and walk through their front doors in person, they've then maybe not taken the same thoughtful approach to what that experience is like. So there's 2D, 3D, and then social and et cetera. And so fragmented language, fragmented visuals, a fragmented and lack of consistent presentation of who you are, what you look like, and how you sound is probably the most common.
So from our brand standpoint, we don't have fragmentation because both of us talk with our hands, and that's just a part of our brand. And that's just how it works. Because I've noticed that is that we both talk with our hands, and maybe that's just the experience of dealing with us.
I've tried not to, and then I feel like
it's not authentic
to you. Yeah, it's just not how it works.
Right? Dancer at heart. The second one is brand experiences fall flat. This is where you get people saying it's the watering it down approach that we were talking about. It's this, wow, that just kind of doesn't feel like it's for anyone because it's for everyone. And this happens a lot when we deal with experiential brands, when you're dealing with like professional teams or you're dealing with private clubs or any of the people that put on events or specific things for people to come experience. sometimes when you're so afraid to make a decision because you have no ecosystem strategy, you don't have an understanding of who this experience is specifically for, and you don't have any kind of guiding light for how it should be shaped, it makes you feel like I could have had this experience anywhere. And that is the worst thing that could happen, because you want your brand to feel memorable, unique, and different. And how do we do that? Well, we need to build these, I call it a strategy for all these experiences that we give our team so that they can come back and say, here's who it's for, here's what we're going to do, and here's why they're going to love it.
Sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's sort of accidental. Time goes by, you aren't paying attention, and all of a sudden you just haven't paid attention in long enough that now it's not up to date and current anymore. Other people we work with have made the mistake of following the lead of taking a Me Too strategy and saying, well, if that works for that competitor or comparable organization, then it will work for us too. So we want to look like them, sound like them, which is not the strategy we would ever recommend.
Yeah.
If for your brand to be for somebody and for it to stand out amongst that crowd of competition, it's critical. And sometimes you only have one crack at this. If that experience falls flat first, you very likely might not get a second chance.
The last red flag for me is when a client comes to us and they say, we go, okay, well, can you slide your brand rule book, your guidelines across the table to us? Or can you just send us the file that you use for any of that? And they go, no, we don't have any. We have a logo. Do you want that file? That is a huge red flag to go. So there is nothing keeping your team, there's no guardrails keeping your team on the right road. There is nothing that you've identified, you've outlined, you said, this is how we sound, this is how we look, this is how we treat our guests, this is how we build our visual experiences, this is how we talk to people, this is all of those things. If you don't have a guideline set, if you don't have rules that help your team make decisions quicker and do that, then they're just going to do what they think is right at the moment. Sometimes that's awesome. Sometimes that's absolutely right. Sometimes it's super wrong. And that can get really dangerous too, because it makes it harder to onboard people. It makes it harder to have consistency. It makes you less efficient. There's a lot of problems that come into not having those guidelines.
When they don't have all the assets they need to tell the story, when they don't have the visuals, the guidelines, more often than not, they'll get bored with the limited ones that they have and they'll start adding their own. And to keep things visually fresh or verbally, you know, to keep the messaging interested and interesting, however, they're doing that oftentimes without any guidelines. And then now we're back to fragmentation and inconsistency.
It's the best.
Yeah. Well, it's good for us, because then that's obviously a problem that we can help with. But if it's something that you're experiencing, you know, on occasion we'll run into a customer or client who actually has a whole brand style guide, brand book, and a ton of assets, but for whatever reason, they're not using all of them. They're kind of honed in on to a couple, and they're not taking advantage of everything they have. That's not as common as it is to talk to a marketing team or an in-house creative team that just says, I don't have anything to work with.
Yeah, I laugh not because it's like a cackle, like, ha, 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 these suckers are going to come work with us. But all I can imagine is like, if that was the approach a doctor took and they said, well, I hope people get sick, that way I'll still be in a job. It's just like a really funny thing for me. But yeah, it's a hard thing. But how can we solve this? How can we move this forward so that when someone goes, you know, I think that we're not giving our team all that they can have from a brand side, we're just not thinking right way, how can we solve that problem?
I'll let you take the strategy approach to this. For me, it starts with a brand audit. Like, I like to, I would recommend that you gather all the ways, all the places, whether that's signage, images of your physical spaces, the printed things, the collateral, website, social media, all of the ways and places in which your brand is currently being represented is usually a great lay of the land to just see, you know, take pictures and images and spread it all out on a table and see what you have and what you don't.
We've had a lot of clients go to us and they go, okay, well, let's do an audit. And I think where it actually starts before the audit is a mindset. It's a philosophy. It's a, we think about this from a bigger standpoint. It touches every single experience. It's all visual, it's all verbal, it's all experiential, it's all these things. So that when we do an audit, they don't get surprised when it's like, oh, you took a picture of our front entryway. Why would you do that? It's like, well, that's a huge part of the experience to your whole thing. Or maybe when you walk in the stadium, what's the first thing that you see? The other part of doing that audit is we've had clients, we've actually done this where we just go, I call it undercover because it makes me sound cooler. But we go, you know, unknown to get the experience as a guest without anyone knowing that we're there for any reason or anything like that. And we just write down what we experience, who's talking to us, who's not talking to us. When they say something to us, what do they say and how do they say it? When you ask for something, how do they respond to that? Those are key points to put into an audit. So if you do your own audit, and I would suggest going and getting someone your staff doesn't know and have them do that. Have them walk through an experience and give you a true audit. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid of being not good enough in some areas. There's this level of being really transparent with your audit that will help you understand where you guys are lacking. And in some regards, it's going to be visual. Sometimes it's just going to be the way you talk to somebody might totally have to change.
We just did this for ourselves, this sort of an audit. Matter of fact, we probably do it more often than most because we need to do for ourselves what we do for our clients.
We try to do it yearly. Yep. And I would suggest our clients, I tell our clients to do that too, is it, like once a year, don't try to make it the same time every year. But once a year to have this level of let's give ourselves a performance review and try to make it as honest as possible and as third party as possible would be the best way to do it.
At a high level, we think about what our customer journey looks like.
Yeah.
What are the key touch points from hearing about us to visiting our website to taking a meeting to us sharing examples of other things with them to them potentially walking in our door or for them to meet us when we walk in their door and all of those steps. And this is just a super brief like list
because
the list can be long. But when you start to think about all the pieces, places, and mediums.
Yep.
I forgot social media, all the ways that people interact with you, that's the audit that we take. And to think about them through that strategic lens. What's the purpose of each of these and what's the next one that that specific medium is trying to get to as the follow-up step?
And this all helps if you have a brand strategy, not a visual strategy. Visual strategies are very helpful. But a brand strategy is super important for this to say, what perception are we trying to create? Who are we? What do we do? And why is that important? And why should anyone care about that? Who do we do it for? All these great questions. Figuring out answers to those as a strategic side. I'm sure we've done a lot of podcasts about that in the past. And we'll just flip through the list. I'm sure there's a ton of them. Those, having all of those, applying that audit to that strategy to say, where are we not accomplishing these things is going to be critical for you guys to look through your experience and then stand back and go, if we're really trying to build this perception, how are we not doing it the way that we service this guest or this customer right now?
I'm assuming we've done a podcast on perception, on reputation, and how to be thoughtful in landing on a series of 3 or 4 or 5 attributes that when combined describe how you want your brand to be perceived. Once you've done that, that's the critical step.
Yeah.
Once you've done that, then you can look at that audit and you can look at every piece, whether you have them. So not just to understand what you have and what you don't have, but to look at what you have and say, is this reinforcing that perception or not? I mean, it's easy. We're trying to be gritty, if we're trying to be open, welcoming, warm, and timeless, is that message on our website reinforcing that? Does the furniture in the front lobby of our office represent that? Does the brand that's then been applied to our member tournament also help continue to reinforce that whole story? So it's strategy first. You can have, like you said, you can skip the strategy and have a great looking brand.
Yeah.
But it'll fall flat. It won't have the true meaning and it won't resonate next level like the way that it can.
We need to redo the front office furniture, I can tell you that.
We're working on it.
So takeaway is big thing here within the brand ecosystem is to remember that your brand is someone's gut reaction to you. It's the gut perception. It's how someone experiences your organization. And if we think small, if we think only visually, then we're going to limit ourselves to only improving visually. And that's not okay.
Get beyond the visual, make it strategic. That makes it meaningful, which will help you stand out from the crowd. It'll make you memorable. And then when that experience actually pays off for your audience, for your customer, for your guest, for your fan, then they're going to become advocates and start marketing for you.
All right. Until next time.
Until next time. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Susner is a branding firm specializing in helping companies make a meaningful mark, guiding marketing leaders who are working to make their brand communicate better, stand out, and engage audiences to grow their business. For more on Susner, visit Susner.com.